friends, it's so good to see you today. I'm Ricky James, the senior pastor at First United Methodist Church here in Clinton, Mississippi. And whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we are glad that you are here today as we continue in our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. Today we talk about perhaps one of the most important statements in all of that creed. And that's a hard thing to say, right? It's all so good. But today we talk about the fact that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. When we talk about forgiveness, some of us are really excited about it, and some of us don't know if we're ready to forgive. So, wherever you find yourself today, wanting to forgive, in need of forgiveness, or maybe wondering if you ever really could forgive someone, we're going to talk about that today. So, thanks for being with us in worship, and thanks for having a great day with us. Welcome.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief.
Join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Every Sunday, I get the chance to say thank you for your generosity. Because when you give, you make a difference, not only in Clinton, but around the world. And I just want to say thank you and encourage you to continue to give. It really does make a difference beyond our wildest imaginations. And remember, you can do that safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. Mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road, or drop it off the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway. So thank you. And remember, your gift makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Hey, guys. So I brought some pencils with me today. Just look at all these. They're short and long. Some are skinny. And they're different colors, too. They're red and yellow, black and white. There's many different shapes, sizes, and colors of pencils. But there is one thing that all of these pencils have in common. The eraser is worn off of every single one of them. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I make a lot of mistakes. And when I make a mistake, I erase it and I start over again and over until I get it right. Why I keep these pencils, I don't know. Because as many as mistakes as I make, a pencil without an eraser can be pretty useless. But these pencils also remind me of people. They come in all different sizes, shapes, and colors too. And we all have one thing in common. We all make mistakes. We make a lot of mistakes. And that is why God sent Jesus to die on the cross, to erase our mistakes. And when we do something wrong, we can ask God to forgive us. And because of Jesus, He will erase our mistakes so we can start over again and again and again. And unlike these pencils, God's eraser never wears out. Just as God forgives us over and over again, Jesus taught us that we should forgive other people over and over again. So I have a little story for you. One day, Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Should I forgive him 7 times? I like to imagine that Peter was pretty proud of himself for being willing to forgive someone 7 times. But then Jesus answered him, "Not 7 times. But 70 times 7 times. So I think Jesus knew that if He said we should forgive 70 times 7 times, we would never be able to keep count, and we would forgive over and over again, just as He forgives us. So it doesn't matter if we're short or tall, red or white, yellow, black or red, we all need God's forgiveness. And we also need to remember that Jesus taught that we are to forgive others just as God forgives us. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, we all sin and fall short. We thank You for sending Jesus to forgive us of our sins, erasing them away and washing us clean again. Help us to forgive others the same way Jesus forgives us, over and over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I heard someone say several years ago something that has really stuck with me. They said, "Affirm truth wherever you find it, because the gospel is everywhere if you're looking for it." And I've seen that to be true. But after hearing that, I heard this song, and there was a lot of truth that came out of this. And I realized, man, this is a song that it is not written for church. And it's not, I don't even know if it's written by a believer, but the gospel is all over this song. And it paints a beautiful picture of how we as followers of Jesus should treat one another when things get a little rocky between us. I thought this song just paints a great picture of how we should deal with one another. And it's written specifically about a relationship between a man and a woman that is broken, but dealing with the fallout of that. But there's so much of this that applies to any relationship that we're in. This is The Heart of the Matter by Don Henley.
Mm-hmm. said you found someone. And I thought of all the bad luck and the struggles we went through, how I lost me and you lost you. What are all these voices outside love's open door? Make us throw off our contentment and beg for something more. I'm learning to live without you now, but I miss you sometimes. The more I know, the less I understand all the things I thought I knew. I'm learning again. Trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak and my thoughts seem to scatter. But I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you don't love me anymore. Let you down. You know they hurt your pride.
Pray with me as we pray the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Christian faith is, of course, much larger than just these few sentences that form the Apostles' Creed. There's so much more that we could say, and in fact, we do say so much more. But these statements, these simple sentences, have a compactness and a brevity that helps to emphasize the importance of these essential beliefs. And one of these essentials, that it's perhaps one of the most important things to understand about Christianity, is the topic that we talk about today. When we say in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Now, to say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins means that we have to say two other things right up front. First, we believe that each of us has done something that needs forgiveness. We've said or done hurtful things. We've deceived others, sometimes intentionally. A lot of times we're not even aware of some of the mistakes we're making. We've distorted the truth. We've outright lied sometimes, whether it's out of malice or self-protection. In a world in which it seems that other people believe that all truth is relative or truth is in the eye of the beholder, we admit that there is at least one absolute truth in this world. None of us is without sin. The second thing contained in this simple statement is that in the Christian faith, forgiveness is not optional. We don't forgive because we feel like it, or because someone deserves forgiveness, or the offending party is really sorry this time and promises never to do it again. We forgive others because we are commanded to. Every Christian, not just the nice ones, every Christian is called to participate in the forgiveness of God, who in Jesus Christ is in the world, bringing forgiveness and reconciliation. So to put it again, if you get nothing else from this sermon, or really, if you've gotten nothing else out of this whole sermon series, I would love for you just to take this one teaching in, that as a Christian, each of us needs forgiveness, and each of us is called to offer forgiveness. Some of us more than others, but all of us needs forgiveness. And all of us needs to offer forgiveness. Now, I know that sounds good in the abstract. In fact, you probably would expect that out of a preacher, right? To talk about forgiveness. And in the abstract, I'm sure a lot of us could go home today saying, I believe in that. Forgiveness, yeah, that sounds great. But then once we get into particular situations, that's where it gets a little more difficult, right? In the real world, this way of life of forgiveness can be harder to accept. You might ask yourself, should I forgive my coworker for taking all the credit for our project and not sharing any of the credit with me and refusing to share the bonus that he got with me? Should I forgive my sister for taking all of our parents' money and leaving me to take care of them in their old age? Should I forgive the young boy who broke into my house and stole my TV? Should we forgive the parents of those kids who, those parents spend all their money on themselves and on their habits and leave their kids with nothing? Maybe even leave their kids abandoned. Should we forgive people like that? And oftentimes the response is, but if we forgive them, it's not fair. It's not fair, right? Have you ever heard that expression? I've got two kids under 10 in my house. I hear it's not fair all the time. And we kind of keep that same philosophy most of our adult life as well, right? It's not fair that others get ahead while I do all the work. It's not fair that I'm always expected to take care of our family. It's not fair that I have to go to the hassle of filling out insurance forms because someone else broke into my house or stole my things. It's not fair that I get up and go to work while others don't. Life's not fair. And you know what? I agree. None of that is fair. And a lot of what we experience in this life, in and outside of the church, really isn't fair. But did you notice in the creed, we did not confess our belief in the fairness of life. We said we believe in the forgiveness of sin. Because Jesus really never teaches about fairness. But so often, he teaches about forgiveness. One of my favorite parables of Jesus is found in Matthew chapter 20. And in the parable, Jesus tells a story about the owner of a vineyard who had to go out and hire some extra help one day. Jesus tells a story that a landowner goes to the marketplace to hire some extra hands for a day's work. And he tells the laborers that he's going to hire them for the whole day and pay them a denarius each. And a denarius is the typical daily wage. Not a lot of money, but enough money to feed a family of four for a day. And so he hires them and they come back to the vineyard and get to work. A couple hours go by and the landowner realizes he needs some extra help, that these people aren't going to get all the work done that one day. And so he goes back to the market and hires some more people. And what's interesting is they don't agree on a price. He tells them, I'll pay you whatever's fair. And these guys are happy to get some work, even if it's less than a full day's wage. Better something than nothing, right? And so they go and get to work. As the day goes on, the landowner does this a couple times. He goes back again at 3 o'clock, and then he goes back at 5 o'clock in the evening, each time hiring more workers for the vineyard and telling them, I'll pay you whatever is fair. And then, at the end of the day, he calls all the workers together, and he tells them to line up according to when he hired them, starting with those who had just been hired. And he goes to the ones who had just been hired at 5 o'clock, had not even worked, not even a quarter of the day. And he goes to them and he pays them a full day's wage, a whole denarius. And you can imagine that the guys who'd been working all day started to get a little excited. Man, if he's paying those guys the full day's amount, I bet we get a bonus. Maybe we get time and a half or overtime. Maybe we get a 2 days pay. But then as he keeps going down the line, he keeps paying every worker the exact same amount. 1 day's wage. And when it comes to the time to pay the guys who have been working all day long, what do you think they got? Full day's wage, same as everybody else. Now, I can feel their anger rising, right? Their frustration at what's happening. And you can feel that they're not happy. And one of them speaks up and says, "These guys only worked 1 hour, and we worked all day in the scorching heat, and you paid us the exact same thing." Can't you hear what the man's really saying? It's not fair. We did all the work. We sweated and toiled. We've been here longer. It isn't fair. And then the landowner replies, quote, "Friend, I'm not treating you wrongly. I paid you what I promised. Why do you care what I pay the others? Aren't I allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Remember, this is Jesus speaking. And he asks, "Or are you envious because I am generous?" And that really is the issue, I think, and why so many of us have the hardest time with really understanding and accepting this concept of forgiveness. Because we hold on to the anger and resentment and ill will because we envy those who don't get what they deserve. Whether it's someone who gets paid more but works less than us, someone who makes a mistake but never has to face the consequences of their bad decisions, or someone who is popular and loved and famous, and yet we know the truth that it's all an act and they're pulling the wool over so many people's eyes. We feel it's unfair. And so we grumble and we sulk and we hang on to those feelings and the envy, and sooner or later, we start to hate them. And what's most frustrating is that most of the time, they have no idea that we are even mad at them. And sometimes we hold on to it so long that we actually forget why we're even mad at them in the first place. Which is why I think, in order to become the forgiving people that Jesus calls us to be, we have to give up our way of looking at the world through the lens of fairness, and instead look at the world as God sees the world. God sees the world through eyes of grace. For really, it is grace that Jesus is talking about when he teaches this parable of the landowner and the vineyard. The landowner is offering grace to each of the laborers, because they're not paid according to how many hours they worked or how hard they worked. They're not paid for how many grapes they harvested. They each receive the same gracious gift of a full day's pay. So why should we be mad at the others because of what the landowner gave them? It all belongs to him in the first place. It's not ours to begin with. It's his. Why should we be angry at what he chooses to give away? I think that's why it's so hard for us to forgive sometimes. Because some of us are really kind of frustrated with God, forgiving people that don't really deserve it. So we decide to hold on to our forgiveness on behalf of God, hoarding that forgiveness and grace, trying to punish people. We really end up only punishing ourselves. You know, just a few chapters after this parable, the disciples see firsthand a living embodiment of the type of forgiveness that Jesus is trying to teach. Just a few chapters later, they would become witness to the most unfair act in all of human history, the death of Jesus is set in motion by an act of betrayal by one of their own. It's compounded with further acts of denial and abandonment as each disciple falls away in this moment of crisis. The religious, political, and moral leaders of Israel participate in this unfair act as they conspire together to put Jesus to death and execute an innocent man. It's all unfair. And in the face of such deep unfairness, we hear Jesus say these words, "Father, forgive them." And that forgiveness, I like to think, is for everyone in that moment. For the soldier who drove the nails. For the passers-by who are mocking him. To the religious leaders who've conspired against him. To the disciple who denied him. To the disciple who betrayed him. To the disciples who abandoned him. To the crowds who shouted, "Crucify," Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." I also believe that Jesus' forgiveness is offered to all of us, to the addict and the abuser, to the adulterer. It's offered to the cheat and to the liar. It's offered to the thief and the embezzler. It's offered to you. Thanks be to God, it's offered to a sinner like me. And whether that forgiveness and grace is accepted first thing in the morning, or at 3 or 5 o'clock at night, every time we can rejoice when someone joins us in the vineyard. It's not our place to say who gets to work and who's out, who deserves and who doesn't, who should get paid more or less. It's not even our vineyard. We're just hired help. And we have no right to be mad when the landowner chooses to be so generous. It's not ours. And we don't deserve it either. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, because it's that forgiveness which was offered to us, and that forgiveness which we in turn share with the world. We're all here today because of the landowner's generosity. Is it fair? Not at all. Thanks be to God. It's grace. Amen. Well, friends, as you go forth this week, I hope you remember that God in Jesus has come to forgive you. And I hope you remember He asks you to be forgiving to others as well. So go in peace, forgiven, and as forgiving people. Amen.